My friends, good morning. How many perfect people do we have here? But it is okay for me to say good morning, saints. Good morning, sinners. Because we're all saints and sinners here. Amen. I got a question for you. First of all, the message today is entitled, Why Me When I'm Far From the Best? Okay? Have you ever been asked to do something that you've never done before? Okay? How many of you can raise your hands about that one? Something that you have never done before. Most people, when asked to do something that they've never done before, have a fit. You know what a fit is, right? They start swelling up or something. They start getting, they sweat, right? And they get nervous and it starts itching. And they don't know what to do. And most of them say, I'm incapable of doing that. I've never done that before. Been there, done that. Somebody say amen. In my case, it was all about public speaking, believe it or not. And look what I'm doing today. Back in the day, it was probably because of many things. But the truth is, more people are fearful of public speaking. It's even more people than are the amount of people are afraid of dying. A lot of people are scared to speak. I had a big mess. I was messed up by life. Because when I left Brooklyn, New York, Newark in that case, in 1982, I went to Puerto Rico, and I was 11 years old. Are you following me? Somebody say amen. Yeah, I'm going to let you in on the mess I was into. So I was barely, at the age of 11, starting to speak English well. Then I go to Puerto Rico, and I have to learn Spanish. And I used to pronounce some words in Spanish that you would not understand it if you actually prayed for. Okay? And I was really confused. And that was at the tender age of 11 years old, trying to pick up another language to make it my dominant language. Well, after years of getting used to that, and just actually getting it, went to college in Puerto Rico. I did my master's degree in Puerto Rico. I did pretty good. I learned Spanish pretty good. But then God has a sense of humor, right? You know that, right? I was called to be a pastor in the United States after 28 years. And I had to learn English again. So my language was completely crazy. And you all know my thing with the first message I had in Franklin Square, where I actually spoke in Spanish to an all-English congregation, and I didn't remember that I'm not in Puerto Rico anymore. It was easier for me to say what I had to say. I have to just say that back then, and in the midst of every change in my life, I believe that speaking in public was a problem for me because I wasn't sure of myself. Do you agree with me? Because of the barrier or the challenge that I had, it was like being very troubled, right? But then I was shy, my friends. Very, very shy. No way, God, are you calling me to be a pastor? Those people have to talk in front of people, I would say to myself. You gotta be kidding me, God. But he called me to do this. And God gave me the talents, the gifts, and I believe the miracle to be able to speak in Spanish and in English, and most important yet, to speak from the heart that it actually covers everything else. Because when I don't say a word in English and pronounce correctly, you still understand me. Somebody say amen. Or else I just say it in Spanish. But it comes from the heart. God equipped me with other tools that I would need for ministry. Amen? The Bible is full of stories of people that relate to this kind of situation and challenge, where they thought that they, you've got to be thinking of some Moses. Remember Moses? What happened with Moses? What was Moses' problem? He had a problem with the starter, you know? He stuttered. And he thought that I'm not the one to do this kind of job. Probably was an excuse, like it was in my case, maybe. But God picks the people that he knows can do something. And is God ever wrong? I don't think so. Does he know more than we do? Amen? I think he does. Full of stories that can relate to this kind of situation. In most of these stories that we've heard in the Bible, there's oftentimes the person being called by God is a newbie, a newcomer, a novice, a freshman, doing something for the first time. And when these people start looking into the future of what that calling demands of him, he doesn't see the whole picture as something glamorous or glorious. It's quite intimidating. Can you relate to that? Do you think that's fair? I believe so. The initial results of that person examining what could happen if they go into this calling sometimes is a little hard to take. But generally, we see a great deal of, in the stories that we've seen in the Bible, a great deal of hesitancy, huh? A little bit of a battle. Then we see a little bit of the insistence and persistence of God in the call. And then all of a sudden, the people usually, they say, they accept their call and they go, they run with it. Amen? They do it. That's the typical result. And God, all of a sudden, we usually always see that he had the right person in mind. I have no doubt, and this is not because I'm full of myself, I have no doubt that God wanted to use Ernesto Tito Sanchez Alverio, the son of Juja and Ernestito, to come to this part of the world and be able to talk to you today. Somebody say amen. It's not a coincidence. With everything that I've been through, I know that God had a plan for me, as he does with each and every one of us. He always has the right people in mind because he knows that we can do it. And in most of these stories in the Bible, years down the pathway, the person called just does his job and it's glorious. We see the glory of God in it. In this message that we saw, the lesson we saw in Isaiah, God is calling someone or someones. You know, if someone's, if we think about the Hebrew people, they were being taught, dealt with as one entity, as an individual, as a person, as a nation. These were people with a call by God. In doing so, they are summoned to bring those who have wandered away from God to recommit to their God. Something like what we're supposed to be doing. Hello, the church. It's exactly the same thing. And we're called to continue to preach the word of God, the gospel, the love of God, share the hope of God so that people will come back to God in a relationship. Somebody say amen. Are you following me today? Amen. In all probability, God is speaking to a group of faithful ones in Israel who have tried, unsuccessfully tried to get those now unfaithful back to where they needed to be. Just outreaching and calling people back is sometimes hard. How many people that used to be in our church are not here? How hard is it sometimes to get them back here? Somebody say amen. The calling is addressed to Israel, but Israel also identifies the very people who need to be renewed with God. As the church too, we're not only here to bless others, we need to be reminded of what we're here to do most of the times. Amen? Because we can lose sight of what the big picture is. what the Great Commission is and what we're supposed to be doing as children of God. So they were supposed to try to bring the people back to God. Many of those they went after in an effort to bring them back refused to come back. And I'm guessing that those people felt bad about it. I'm trying, but they don't come back. And maybe you've been trying as a church. I'm trying to get people back. I'm trying to get my friends to church. I'm trying to get them to come to God. And it's hard. The people are just reluctant to have anything to do with church. Have you been there? Situations like this? So they might have been feeling that that's hard. So the ones called have made peace. If we see it in the story that we read this morning, had made peace in their minds that they, although not successful at bringing everybody back, they were faithful to God. That's where they say, my reward is with my God. Now, my friends, from all indications, this conversation is about a divine resend. People today, we are talking about a reminder to us of what we're supposed to be doing as a body of Christ. As people who were called by God to be out there and extend the gospel and reach out to people to come into a relationship with God. Church, we are being reminded of this also today. Amen? Are you here with me? Somebody say amen. Even if that means that sometimes we're not successful. Even if that means that sometimes we might get rejected by some people of them even thinking that we are fanatics. You don't know how many people think I'm crazy in my family. And sometimes I think I'm crazy, but you know, that's another story. Just because I decided to be a pastor. Just because I decide to be part of a church. Just because I have this way of life of being called a Christian. Now, I like this kind of craziness. I'm going to tell you why it works. And I understand that God blessed me in order to bless other people, not only for me to use everything He gives me just for myself, because that would be selfish. Are you getting me? Are you with me? Somebody say amen. I'm getting worried here. Amen? So now, even if that means that we're not always going to hit a home run when we're trying to get people to come to Christ. My friends, on that score, was it God or was it William Hickson or Thomas Palmer who first said, if at first you don't succeed, try again. Try and try again. What we have to share is just too important for us to give up trying to share it. We need to try and try again in different ways if we have to, but we need to do it. The message of God to this core group of Israelites that we were touching upon this morning comes down to this. The ministry is what you were born to do. This invitation to people is what God chose you to do, my friends. It's not only the pastor who's in this business. You are called to do this also as part of the body of Christ. Being a light to the nation includes being a light to your own nation also, my friends. And what's the method to do this? As to your method, I'd only have to say this. God might be heard to say, as we read in between the lines of Isaiah this morning, to use our best strategy. Somebody say amen to that. We have to be purposeful about our way of preaching the gospel nowadays. We have to use our best focused speech if necessary. We have to have focus. We have to polish our arrows, those arrows that might get straight into the heart of the people. We need to do whatever it takes so that the message of the love of God and the gospel will be received by people and not just rejected. For now, it's pretty easy and simple for me to say, just forget about the covered dish dinners and all that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a different kind of need that people have. I'm talking for us as Christians to start relating to the now, to the here and now of the people that are not coming to church because they don't feel compelled to do that. The truth is, there will always be a ministry for those who are sent to reclaim people who have fallen from their faith, from their connection to God. It is not God's way of saying this, though. God is not the one who will say, well, there are more fish in the sea. If he doesn't want me, or she rejects me, it's okay. There are more fish in the sea. God does not want anybody to be lost. That's his way of thinking about this. And we have to think the same way. There is no magic solution for the problem, the ongoing problem in the whole United States of America and the world of people and congregations are going down in memberships and people are coming away from church. There's no easy and simple solution to that. I know that to be true. But perhaps logic tells us to keep trying. And even if we have to use a new language to talk to the today, that we use it because it's well worth it, and some people will be lost if we're not willing to do something different. My friends, we need to work on our approach. One established fact is that many people fall away from God and religious institutions. Those very ones that they once felt compelled to, because all relevance disappears to them. Church doesn't do the same thing it used to do in their lives. And despite hearing all the beautiful old hymns, the old hymns, and the old stories, a substantial number of people really don't want to hear the old hymns or the old stories anymore because some of them don't have any relevance to their life anymore. How many of you have been in a church all their lives? Well, I've been out of the church for part of mine. I was running away from God and rebelled against God and the religious institution for almost 15 years because it had no relevance to me, and I was very, very angry. And when I came to this church called the United Methodist Church, I saw like a happy medium. I saw something different in one church in Maunabo, Puerto Rico. It was so simple what I saw. I saw love. I saw a group of people that were willing to accept me just as I was. They weren't too much of into the rules, things, and you have to do this and this and this. Just accept you as you were. And I understood that it was God. And it was their simple way of letting me know that God cares for you that led me to come to church. It was none of the old stories and the hymns that I had a lot of. I had a pastor in the family, 8 of them, remember? And my grandfather was one of them. I used to run through the pews of the church. I was full of the Bible, but I was not full of God. I was not full of a relationship with God. And that made the whole difference when I saw this church that was different, not because of all the rules, not because of all the tradition, but about the atmosphere that I went into. What I saw, and I'm going to finish with this. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little carried away, but that's just me. I have to just tell you, my friends, that despite all that is happening, we have to at least try and try again. It's not all about us. It's about what God can do through us, my friends. It's reassuring, though, isn't it, to be reminded that God never gives up on those who fall away. He didn't give up on me, knucklehead Tito. When I thought I could do it all on my own without God, and I was really touching bottom there, and all of a sudden, God was still there for me, and he is still there for you. We have to be there for other people, my friends. It's reassuring to know that God is picking people all the time. He's choosing people. He chose you. Look into the eyes of the pastor. He chose you. What a privilege we have to be chosen by God to extend this love, to share this message of hope and love. God is always looking for the right people, the best people, the unexpected people, and even people like me and you to use us so that we can work in helping others to get back into their relationship with God. So don't give up. Don't give up. Go ahead and tell your neighbor, don't give up. The other one on the other side, tell him, don't give up. There you go. I know we have sometimes had opportunities to get a little tired of us all. We get tired. But don't forget, we all have been called to do this, the spreading of the love of God, the hope of God, salvation of God. Not the pastor only. I'm here to preach. I'm here to lead a flock. But I'm not the only one called. That would be pretty unfair. If I am part of this body and I'm the only one who thinks that my job is to share the gospel, that's a job of each and every one of us here, my friends. We're in this together. And yes, my friends, He has called you. Even if you're not perfect, even if you sin, He has called us all. May God bless you and keep you all.